Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Continued very warm with a high of 78. For Saturday, variably cloudy, cooler again with a couple of showers possible, high 64. Time now for Steve Jones on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Here at the Chateau, where Kevin Herr is campaigning hard for Tim Tebow to land in Philadelphia. A quarterback who led his team to one win in the last five starts of his career in Denver.
I just...
Listen. One win, 1-4. I mean, have you people out there watched the games?
Yes, I saw one particular Tebow game, and I saw the middle of the field wide open the entire game, depressing me.
Miami, all right? This is where he gets it going. On October 23rd, he's 13-27 for 161 yards, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, but they're losing 15-0, and in the last 4 minutes, they score 18 points and win. Then they play a legitimate team. That's Miami. Then they play a legitimate playoff team in Denver. Or excuse me, in Detroit. My apologies. Right. Detroit. He goes 18-39 for 172 yards, hitting 46% of his passes. Detroit wins 45-10. 10-21, 124 yards. Beat Oakland 34-24. Beat Kansas City with an impressive performance. 2-8, 69 yards. They beat the Jets. That was an impressive win. 17-13, 9-20, 104 yards. San Diego in overtime. 9-18, 143 yards. Minnesota. Now these are offensive explosions. 10-15, really good day. 202 yards, couple touchdowns. They beat Minnesota 35-32. That's impressive. Then they play the Bears. This is the overtime game where Prater hits the field goal at the end from, 58, and then wins it with a 52-yarder. Or I think it was a 54-yarder. He goes, in that game, he went wild. 21 of 40 for 236 yards and a touchdown. Then, all of a sudden, the wheels come off the wagon. Chance to clinch the playoffs. New England lost 11-22, 194, no touchdowns. 41-23. Buffalo, which had staggered dramatically down the stretch. Buffalo won 40-14.
Yeah, Buffalo, I'll give you. That one...
Tebow, 13 of 29, 185 yards. Then there was Kansas City. Let's play them at home. Playoff on the line. Don't worry, our man will get us home. 6 of 22 for 60 yards.
It was a bad day.
Bad day.
Bad day.
It's another in a long line of bad days. Then they play the Steelers and, of course, the overtime win. But he's 10 of 21 for 316 yards.
He's still a 50% passer.
Including the 80-yarder for the game winner. Two touchdowns, no picks, though. He threw 12 touchdowns in the regular season and only six interceptions.
See, that's a big thing right there. Yeah, he's not throwing the ball into coverage very often where it's getting picked off. But the intangible there is the fact that he is 5 yards every time he runs the football. For a quarterback, that's not bad. For a running back, that's not bad.
Okay, once again, let's repeat these numbers. December 18th, lost to New England by 18. December 24th, Christmas Eve, lost to Buffalo by 26. Okay, New Year's Day, lost to Kansas City, put 3 on the board, and we're 6 of 22. Then the playoff game on the 14th with the Patriots in Foxborough, 9-26, and lost by 35 points.
Well, I think we've established the fact that you're not a Tebow maniac.
Well, no, it's, it has nothing to do with being a Tebow maniac. First of all, I like the guy, and I think the guy does bring some things to the table. But it's going to take him a while to be a good NFL quarterback.
Well, yeah, he's not a good NFL quarterback right now. He's got potential.
Can he be an outstanding NFL quarterback? I'm not so sure. Can he be better than Bobby Douglas? Yes. It's a name you didn't think you'd hear on the show.
No.
But Douglas was left-handed. Douglas was a runner. Douglas ran for 900 yards in a year. Right out of the quarterback spot. And that's why I brought it up, because I think he's the one guy I think that's comparable to him. And Vic is actually a better thrower than Tebow.
No, I would agree with that. But he also, like I said, Vic's main problem is every time he drops back, you just wonder what bone is going to be broken.
Right. I mean, Tebow's tough, strong, physical guy. But again, once people caught on to his game, then my point is, the key here is when people caught on to his game. I mean, once they started getting some film, figuring out what he was doing, because they had the great streak where they won six games in a row. And he engineered all of those. Those are his babies in conjunction with the defense. But then they lost 4 out of 5 down the stretch. And Buffalo and Kansas City, by the way, were two teams that were totally out of the picture.
But what about having a summer where you can work on that offense and stop making it so vanilla and be able to put in different wrinkles? And, you know, the argument would be you should be able to do that during the year as well. I understand that.
Kevin, but they have wrinkles in that offense left and right that other people don't have.
Right.
Okay? It's simple, but still they have wrinkles in left and right. They have the quarterback draws. They have the option plays. They have the reverses, things like that. They have all that stuff in there. Right? But the bottom line is, in the National Football League, you still have to be able to get the snap, look around, pick out 1, 2, 3 progressions, make the right one, and go. Manning will put them into the right play at the right time, at the right moment, probably 67 to 75% of the time. There'll be times that he won't. Can't control that. Right? But I don't know if Tebow can put you in that spot right now.
Give us your call at 1-800-795-9565 and see if your team should be interested or shouldn't be interested. The Dolphins now probably aren't interested, although I'm not sure Gerard is going to be the answer that they're looking for either. I'm not quite sure what the Dolphins are doing right now. I mean, they've had some really good cornerbacks come visit them, and then they just don't even talk to them anymore. I mean, they don't even want to talk anymore to the Dolphins.
Right, exactly.
I mean, Alex Smith, when Smith heard that Peyton Manning was going to go to San Francisco and talk to them, he immediately said to himself, okay, who needs a quarterback? I'm going to go to the Dolphins. And then he went to the Dolphins and then went, okay, got to go.
He should go back to San Francisco.
I think he will.
I mean,
they've opened the door up for that.
I think pride for him needs to reel that in. He's done well at San Francisco, especially with Jim Harbaugh. It's taken him a long time. But again, the 49ers were a franchise that was not going to help. They were a franchise that could not really help a quarterback. There were not enough parts around him to help. Now they have parts around him and a defense. I'm telling you, the defense in San Francisco is worth 9 wins. They're worth 9 wins. And he can't forget that. And to his credit, Alex Smith was a big reason why they beat the New Orleans Saints. Big reason why they beat the Saints. You know, so it wasn't just him managing the game that helped them win over the Saints. He was a reason why. Mike in Hughesville at 1-800-795-9565. Mike, it's a pleasure to have you on the show today.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Eagles fan here. And I want to tell you that I'd feel pretty good about Tebow.
Why, Mike?
Pardon me?
Why, Mike?
Well, I think that we're being a little hard on the man. I think that that of late we expect first-year quarterback coming out of college to be, you know, highly proficient. And I think we need to give him a little credit for youth and time to grow. I think he has all the basics that are required. And I think he's a tough kid. I think that, you know, got to give him a little bit of time to really assess what he'll be worth. I think a big question is if you can get him for the right price. It should be a bargain price.
Well, Mike, first of all, I completely agree with everything you said, because I actually have prefaced all my comments with exactly with what you said. I prefaced all of them saying, look, it's his second year, and now the question is what kind of quarterback can he develop into? No question about that. But at this stage, Manning's a better fit for what the Broncos want to do for this year and the year after than they would be with Tim Tebow, in my opinion. Now, if he goes out there, you talk about as an Eagles fan, you already have some of the basics in the offense that Tim Tebow utilizes anyway in Denver. So actually, as a fit, it's a good fit. The question is whether he wants it to fit.
Right, right. If he doesn't want to go, then that's going to be a problem. Well, let me ask you a question about Manning, if I may.
Sure, Mike.
Don't you think that the first couple times that he really takes a significant hit, that people are going to gasp and that they're going to wonder and they're going to worry? How do you fellas assess his ability to withstand his injury?
Mike, that's the $96 million question over
sure
5 years.
Sure
that is. That is the whole ball of wax there. First of all, if you've ever been around Peyton Manning, the first thing you notice that when you're with him is how big a man he is. He is about 6'5", 6'6". He is thick, right? And he's actually a powerfully built guy. So that's why he's been able to withstand some of the pounding over the years. Now, at this stage with 4 neck surgeries, may not be, I mean, it may be a time, especially at 36 years of age, where if he takes those hits, you're right, they will gasp right away and they'll be holding their breath until he stands up. The ability to throw the ball, David Cutcliffe today on Colin Cowherd on ESPN was interviewed, and Manning's been working out at Durham at Duke, and David Cutcliffe is the head coach at Duke. And Cutcliffe had two tours of duty with the Tennessee Volunteers as the offensive coordinator, including one with as Manning's offensive coordinator at Tennessee. And he said Manning's throwing the ball really well, and in David Cutcliffe's opinion, that if the Broncos were to play this weekend, Manning could play. And he said it's only March, and imagine how he's going to be when he's stronger down the road. But, Mike, you're absolutely right.
Well,
the second he takes a hit, everybody will gasp and wonder.
Yeah, I looked at I saw a diagram of the pictures of, you know, what was done to repair his neck.
Yes.
And I thought, my goodness, how brave this guy is to go on to even walk out on the field, because to me it was a scary-looking thing.
Yeah, it is a scary-looking thing. You know, but $96 million takes away a lot of fear. And but you know what? I really believe in my heart Manning is not doing all of this for the money. I think Manning is trying to pick out – I think he tried to pick out the best fit that was the easiest route for him to get back to the Super Bowl.
Well, I appreciate that. I really don't have much else to add. I don't know. It's more of an intuitive feeling I have about Tebow, and I admire the guy. I think that, and I guess I can make this my last comment, that as a starting quarterback in the NFL, for different reasons, he's taken a lot more criticism, mm-hmm. a lot more heat, a lot more scrutiny than I, you know, I think was warranted and fair.
Mike, I do agree with that. And when I was reciting all of his numbers, that was at least evidence to me that if you have a chance at a Peyton Manning versus going continuing the route with Tim Tebow, the one thing you do worry about is that defensive coordinators, once they get some time and get a pattern on you, then they start to read your game. And what those numbers showed me was that the NFL was onto his game, and that it's up to him now, Tim Tebow, to now make the adjustment to defenses and become a far more proficient quarterback, a far more efficient, and a quarterback that makes better throws. He doesn't make big mistakes, but at the same time, he's not the one that's making the big pass plays yet. But again, as you correctly point out, Mike, and you're right on the mark, he's only in his second year. Okay? and to get a really good feel as to whether he is a quality NFL quarterback or not, I think we have to wait until probably after year five. That's why you're on the mark, Mike.
Mike, quick question before you go. As an Eagles fan, and I've talked to a lot of Eagles fans around here, and I get the same lukewarm feeling with Michael Vick and about Michael Vick. What is it that has not made him your quarterback? Or maybe is for you. I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
I think you guys hit on it earlier. He seems to be highly vulnerable to getting hurt. You know, you got to be there. You got to stay in there. It seems like the Eagles have had a history of problems of late with quarterbacks that go down. And that's my only beef. I think in all other respects that, you know, he's a great guy, and I admire the way that he came back from adversity. I know a lot of people are critical about that, but I think that's a positive character trait. And I think that between Vic and Tebow, there, as you guys have already stated, a lot of similarities in the fact that they're both running quarterbacks and they both, you know, throw left-handed and stuff like that. But I don't know. I'm loyal to Vic, but he's got to be there more often.
He just got to stay in the lineup. That's all.
Right. I mean, if he wants to sit up in the stands, he'd be a good buddy to cheer with. But I mean, you understand what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, look at the last few Super Bowls, Mike. Manning every snap. Okay, opposed by Brady every snap. Super Bowl before that, same story. Rodgers every snap. Roethlisberger virtually every snap. Before that, you know, the Super Bowl, you know, you go through all these Super Bowls, and it's great quarterbacks, but also quarterbacks that took almost every snap for their team all season long. Whether it was Roethlisberger, Kurt Warner, Eli Manning, Tom Brady, you know, they've taken every snap. And those guys are the ones that continue to be the ones that end up making the deep runs of postseason play.
And I guess I need to add this, too. I think, like Tebow, I think that Vic has a little ways to go yet. I mean, you know, he hasn't been around that long.
And, yep, I agree with you.
So, but, you know, durability, I guess that's his weakness. That's the niche there, right? Or not the niche, but, you know, the
Achilles heel. The Achilles heel. Yep. The issue.
Oh, no, let's not use Achilles because that gets me into a whole other sport now. Let's not talk about that. Thanks for the call, Mike.
Mike, thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
We'll come back with more of the Steve Jones Show, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. As we continue with more of your calls after this.
Your fuel economy headquarters is Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. SMC has the 40-mile-per-gallon 2012 Ford Focus on sale as low as $15,680. And Sunbury Motors has over 20 to choose from. The fuel-sipping 2012 Ford Fiesta gets up to 40 mpgs and is slashed to $13,880. Pick from over 30 of the most fuel-efficient SUV, the 28-mile-per-gallon 2012 Ford Escape, and they're reduced to as low as $18,950 during this spring sales event. Sunbury Motors has America's most fuel-efficient truck. The Ford F-150 EcoBoost takes $6,000 off over 20 EcoBoost trucks in stock. Every new Ford at SMC comes with a full tank of gas and an extra set of tires. Plus, now through the 31st, get a $250 gas card. Financing as low as 0% for up to 60 months and savings up to $9,000 makes Sunbury Motors the clear choice for your next new Ford. Proudly serving the Susquehanna Valley since 1915. SMC, Sunbury Motor Company, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Prior sales excluded.
Susquehanna Valley RV.
Get up and get away this camping season with help from Susquehanna Valley RV, Route 522 Sealands Grove, and Route 11 Bloomsburg. Get in now and see for yourself there is an RV priced right for you. They have been sharing the camping experience with people just like you for over 29 years. New RVs arriving daily and friendly financing is no problem. Due to the success of the Bloomsburg Fairgrounds RV event, Susquehanna Valley RV is offering top dollar on trades. Check out the parts department for all the camping accessories. Susquehanna Valley RV backs all sales with a fully experienced service department to keep you camping longer. They know there is an RV that's right for you. Susquehanna Valley RV will show you how. Route 522 Sealands Grove and Route 11 Bloomsburg.
There's an exciting new world waiting for you at Susquehanna Valley RV. A camper's best friend.
Here's Dr. Nicole Chrisman, a Geisinger primary care doctor. I went into family practice because I felt very strongly about prevention and taking care of the whole person.
All good health starts with a strong dose of common sense. Like having a relationship with a primary care doctor. One that will take the time to really get to know you and know you well enough to listen for what you're not saying. That's a Geisinger primary care doctor. There are nearly 175 of them at more than 35 locations throughout central and northeastern Pennsylvania, all following proven guidelines that lead to a higher standard of care. There's a Geisinger primary care doctor near you, ready to get to know you and your family and be there through every stage of your life.
Sometimes the most important thing I can do is just listen.
To connect with a Geisinger primary care doctor, call 1-800-275-6401 or visit geisinger.org. Geisinger, redefining boundaries.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents The Road Report. 10 minutes before the hour each weekday morning on WKOK. We'll talk about construction slow spots, and we'll let you know if the weather is going to affect driving. Before you hit the road, check out The Road Report at WKOK.com. Then, listen to News Radio 1070 WKOK to find out what you'll run into on the way to work. The Road Report is on WKOK and WKOK.com.
All right, welcome back. A little more open line time with you. The next half hour, we will talk with Don Fisher, the play-by-play voice of Indiana basketball, another one of those upset-laden brackets that Kevin's been talking about. It's another 1-4. I've been killing you with that today.
Yeah, you're enjoying that, aren't you? There have been some upsets. You do know that, right?
I understand.
Okay,
that.
I just want to make sure.
I realize within 3.5 hours, Norfolk State beat Missouri, and I realize right after that, Lehigh beat Duke.
And but, it was almost UNC Asheville pulling a historic right. one.
Yep, over Syracuse. It's close. Although the way UNC Asheville reacted in the last 45 seconds of that game, I don't think they would have won it. I mean, they did not. I mean, and I talked to Dick about this, and Dick was sitting right there, and Dick said, you could see the deer and the headlight look in their eyes. He said they were not going to finish it.
They started to feel it.
Yes, just a little bit. But it turns out we have 3 1-4s, which means the seeding held.
And I have all four in my final four, so I'm very happy.
You know, from Sealands Grove to Danville to Milton to Hughesville and across the Fruited Plain, the fact that your Final Four is still there has brought joy and happiness to many across the valley.
That's right. I'm glad you finally recognize it.
Tomorrow, by the way, 3:35, we'll have Mark Brennan from Fight On State here at the Chateau. We'll talk a little football, basketball with you, Penn State style. And also comments from Patrick Chambers' press conference from yesterday that Carissa Maxwell covered for us. Carissa, an important part of our team, and we'll have those comments for you tomorrow. Thought about using them today, but we have so much going on, and open line time, and the other Big Ten announcers to go with Paul Keels we had yesterday that we just wanted to keep that mix going today. So we'll use that tomorrow in the show.
Duly noted. All of which can be heard again, by the way, if you go to the podcasts and MP3s at stevejonesshow.com after the program today.
We're going to do, we'll fire up the phone lines here for the next 15 minutes or so at 1-800-795-9565. And then we'll hear from Dr. Fisher in Atlanta for Indiana against Kentucky. They play once this year. It was the shot heard round Hoosier Land. Christian Watford from the wing for three. One of only two losses for Kentucky this year. We'll talk to Don about that during the next half hour. And also your calls at 1-800-795-9565. The news at the bottom of the hour from WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Phillies won today. They beat the Orioles 4-1. And for all the Philly fans who've been panicking about Roy Halladay's bloated ERA in the spring training, fear not. Today he went six innings. He gave up a run on three hits. He struck out five and didn't walk a batter. Jonathan Papelbon went an inning, walked one batter, but that was it. Recorded three outs. And the Phillies pounded out 15 hits today, including a couple from Hunter Pence and Ty Wigginton, and Carlos Ruiz had a pair as well. 15 hits for the Phillies in a 4-1 win today as Roy Halladay. Doc goes six today, gives up three hits, a run, struck out five, did not walk a batter. Pirates play the Yankees tonight over at Steinbrenner Field in Tampa.
I never get overly nervous about spring training baseball. I get nervous when there's injuries, but I don't get nervous about the game.
No, what happens is this, is that you go through spring training, your ERA is 12, you go out on opening day, you give up two hits, one run, and seven innings, and suddenly out of nowhere, March never existed. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. Our next stop is Sealands Grove. Our next caller is JC. JC, my man, thank you very much for being patient and joining the show.
Hey, guys, I'm not stalking you, and I realize it's the second call in 2 days, but...
Hey, you call every day. Hey, first of all, you call every day, JC. It's great to have you on board.
You know, usually I just listen to you guys, but there's always something that just touches a nerve. And I got to be honest with you, being a former quarterback, the Tebow thing kind of strikes a nerve. And in his defense, Steve, you said that a lot of those teams scored over 30 points against them. To me, that's a defensive problem. So I can't blame all the blame on Tebow. I got to put some of the blame on Denver's defense.
Yes and no. JC, yes and no on that. You know, as a quarterback, when you go three and out, who's on the field next?
That's true. Okay, the other thing I want to point out is his manager, his owner, John Elway. He goes to old school. He was a pocket passer. That was where I came from. You know, you stay in the pocket, you stay in the pocket. You don't never move side to side. It's always forward. And that's the type of quarterback that John Elway was. Then he got Tebow. He was built on a passing offense. You know, they went down there in Florida. They ran the option a lot, and they ran a lot of running plays for quarterbacks. Two different things. I really don't believe he got the support that he needed and that was necessary to mature him into a good quarterback in Denver. Because, look, you know, look at his statistics. I mean, if you look at Tebow's resume, 2000 and 2008 Maxwell Award winner. He was a 2007 Heisman winner. 2007 Davey O'Brien Award. And here's a good one for you. In 2008, he also won the Manning Award.
Right. I know he did.
Yeah. In that?
I know.
And then in 2008, he was the quarterback for the BCS champ. I mean, his credentials are there. In my opinion, he was drafted way too early and way too high on the food chain. I think if he was drafted a little lower and went to a team where he could have been matured a little more. But I'm going to tell you, you heard it here first. If Tebow can get to a team where he can get owner support other than Elway, because him and Elway, I don't feel they got along that well. If he can get to a team where he can get owner support and get a quarterback that can mentor him, he's going to be definitely one of the top NFL quarterbacks.
Oh, boy. Do I think he can be a good NFL quarterback? Yes. Do I think he can be a great quarterback that would have his name rolled off in the same vein as Brady, Eli Manning, Aaron Rodgers, and people like that? I don't see that yet. I love Jim Plunkett. Jim Plunkett had a rocket arm, an absolute rocket arm. And with the Patriots, he was a quarterback that needed protection. And when he was with the Patriots. He had no mobility. That's when he got to Oakland with Gene Upshaw and Art Shell, right? And he had protection.
He got to the right team.
Yeah, he got to the right team at the right moment. And his Joe Paterno told me, because Joe coached him in an All-Star game, and he told me Jim Plunkett had the best arm he ever saw.
He was one of my idols as a kid, him and Jimmy and Jake the Snake, you know.
Well, Jake the Snake, yeah. I'll tell you right now, Plunkett had a great, you know, when he was with the Patriots, he had nothing around him except Randy Vataha. Okay, that's what he had. And they needed a quest. That's why Steve Grogan was a little more effective, because he had mobility. And Plunkett, of course, didn't, as you correctly pointed out. When he got to Oakland and he played for the Raiders, he had Shell, Upshaw, Dave Dalby at center. And he had Branch, and he had Biletnikoff. He had a few more weapons.
Right. All the greats. Well,
now,
the NFL.
if Tebow gets to the right system that conforms to what he does, then I agree with you. He has a chance to potentially flourish. But the one thing he's going to have to do, JC, is he has to become a better thrower. Now, he doesn't make the big mistake. He only threw six interceptions the whole season. But he needs to be a better thrower, thus in moving the ball down the field a greater factor when he drops back to pass. Because right now he doesn't inspire fear in how he throws the ball yet. But he does inspire fear about how he runs.
Now you also said that Manning's a big man, and he is a big man. But Tebow's got some size to him too, and if he's got a good arm,
right.
He can develop his accuracy in his arm. He's got the range.
I agree with that. Yeah, I completely agree with that. That he has the potential to do that. My reference to Manning was that he can take some shots because of his pure physical size. The question is every time he goes down, everybody in Invesco Field at Mile High is going to be holding their breath.
I totally agree. And then my last point I want to make is I am thoroughly surprised that he would go, one, and play outside of a stadium. You know, I have a feeling he's doing outside his comfort area when he does that.
Right.
And I have a titanium chin. And, man, when it gets cold, I'm telling you what, it's painful. And he's got all that titanium in his neck. I wish him all the best.
Well, because I strike a nerve with you every day, I may have a titanium brain.
Well, thanks for hearing me, guys. I appreciate you taking my call. And, you guys are a joy to listen to again. I appreciate it. Now, have a great day.
Love the call, JC. Great points. I appreciate it, my friend. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. It's great to have everybody on board today. It's amazing how Tim Tebow inspires emotion. I am amazed by the fact, and I think, JC made it was very subtle, and he slipped it in there, and it was an excellent point. He brought up the part where Tebow was drafted in the first round. And that is something which, when you are drafted in the first round, fair or not, brings with it a different expectation.
Well, and the other thing was, he's been on the cover of video games. He was highly touted in college. So, I mean, he's been around the spotlight for a long, long time. And I think the other thing that really endears him to a lot of people is the fact that, yes, he's been around the spotlight. Everybody seems to know who he is, no matter if you're a football fan or not. And he seems to be the kind of guy that you can actually watch and kind of have kids try and emulate, admire, whatever, however you want to call it. I don't like to use the term hero, but you get the point.
He's completely grounded. I mean, it really seems like he's completely grounded. He goes out of his way for people. He doesn't. I've never been around him, but he seems like he isn't arrogant. That he just is one of the guys and is using his position in life to make things better for other people.
Yeah,
that's why you hear about him, for example, I want him to be my date to the military ball, and he goes.
Yeah, if your kid says to you, I want to be like Tim Tebow, you're going to be like, oh, okay, I can understand that.
Oh, sure. I mean, exactly right. If your kid says, I'd like to emulate him, it doesn't bother you. I mean, I take him out in the backyard and start developing his left arm a little bit better.
work on the completion percentage.
Exactly. But again, the last 2 days, we've opened up the phone lines and talked to people about this. Tebow, for whatever reason, brings about emotion. And people really want him to succeed. I mean, they want him to succeed. And that's the part that I think is neat, is that people really want him to succeed. I think that they want him to shut up every critic and be on the football field the way he was at Florida. Because, I mean, he has a fierce fire to win. A fierce fire to win. And you saw that at Florida. Remember that championship game they played against Alabama and the SEC? I mean, a fierce fire to win. So this guy's a big-time competitor. No getting around it. But at the moment, for what Denver wants to do, I mean, you sit me down in a room and objectively say to me, Steve, I have Peyton Manning, I have Tim Tebow. Who can get me to the Super Bowl?
Absolutely right. You're absolutely right there.
And objectively, you have to give the answer of Peyton Manning. Now, Is there a risk in Peyton Manning? There is a tremendous risk in Peyton Manning because of the four neck surgeries. I mean, it is a roll of the dice for Denver, but when you're in the business of you have to take a chance here and there, then you know this is the kind of league, and this is a league that's built on quarterbacks. It is built on quarterbacks, and I went through every Super Bowl last week, and there were, what, only five quarterbacks winning and losing?
That's
five
right.
quarterbacks total where you sat back and went, huh. Because even the quarterbacks on the teams that didn't win, you sat back and went, okay, Breeze beat Manning. Okay. We'll come back with Don Fisher, the play-by-play voice of Indiana, in a moment as we continue on The Steve Jones Show.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. And if you want to save big at the gas pump, Sunbury Motors Hyundai has the miles per gallon your wallet is looking for. If you trade your current vehicle that gets 22 miles per gallon on a brand new Hyundai Veloster, you'll save $1,647 per year or $8,236 over 5 years. If you're looking for an all-wheel drive to trade in on, a brand new Hyundai Tucson will save you $3,929 over 5 years. Every Hyundai comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. And at Sunbury Motors Hyundai, you'll get an additional set of tires. So what are you waiting for? Trade in your current vehicle at Sunbury Motors Hyundai with the possibility of saving thousands over the next 5 years. Go to sunburymotors.com, hover over new, click on calculate fuel savings, and fill in the rest. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com.
Why choose Evenlink? Here's why. Even faster access, even better customer service, and even lower prices. Switch from expensive cable to Evenlink's TV, phone, and internet service. Get high-speed internet, all digital TV, plus your local channels with free high def. Add unlimited phone service, plus keep your same number. Packages starting from $75 per month. All three from $75 per month total, plus tax. Why pay more? It's the same TV stations, the same web pages, and the same phone service, but from Evenlink. For a lot less money. You could save $1,000 per year when you switch. Don't wait. Start saving today. No phone line in the house? Don't worry. Evenlink has the technology to bring you DSL only to the home. Call today and Evenlink will waive the $35 installation fee too. That's right. Free installation. A friendly, helpful, and local company for over 15 years. Evenlink. Even faster access. Even better customer service. Even lower prices. Call Evenlink at 988-1800. That's 988-1800 for Evenlink.
These days, we're pinching pennies everywhere we can. On groceries, utilities, even insurance. But get into one car accident and your rates could rise as much as 40% just because of it. Suddenly, your affordable insurance isn't. Unless you have Allstate Accident Forgiveness, then the accident won't make your rates go up at all. It's part of Your Choice Auto, only from Allstate. Are you in good hands?
Call us at the Tilson Agency in Montoursville at 368-7600 or in Selins Grove at 374-7888.
Feature is optional and subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company, Northbrook, Illinois.
Do your feet hurt? They shouldn't. Let Albright Foot Care Center be your foot care provider. Do your heels hurt at first step in the morning or after periods of inactivity? Are you unable to enjoy walking and exercise because of your pain? Fortunately, the doctors at Albright Foot Care Center can help alleviate your discomfort. Doctors Tom and John Albright and Dr. Dave Bodmer offer for a variety of treatments to help eliminate heel pain and improve your quality of life. To schedule an appointment in one of our three convenient locations, Lewisburg, Sunbury, or Berwick, call 522-8637. That's 522-TOES.
Every day, get expert insight on the market and the economy and how both can impact your finances and investments with the Wall Street Journal Report on WKOK. You'll also get coverage of major global stories, political events, medical breakthroughs, emerging technology, and more. Listen for the Wall Street Journal Report weekday mornings at 25 after and 5 minutes before the hour from 6 to 8:30. Then, hear more insightful coverage weekday afternoons from 5 to 7. Weekend mornings, catch the report Saturdays in the 9 o'clock hour and Sundays in the 10 o'clock hour. Only on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The dark side of Kevin Herr comes out because it is time for us to announce to the world, love the Gaga.
You know, that wasn't planned either. It just kind of happened.
I don't understand. Another one of those major upset-laden brackets is the 1-seed Kentucky against the 4-seed Indiana.
Stop it.
I apologize for bringing out facts.
Yes, don't let anything in this show be distracted by the facts, all right?
Right. We've only done four interviews with announcers in games that have been 3-1-4s and a 2-6.
Maybe you're just getting the wrong announcers.
Getting the wrong guys, maybe, you know. You know, I was thinking about getting Kentucky's guy on next week, you know, because I did a lot of stuff for him back in November. He owes me a favor. Well, Don Fisher's the play-by-play voice of Indiana basketball, joining us from Atlanta now. And Don, first of all, great to have you with us. Last year, Penn State played Indiana in the opening round of the Big Ten tournament when Penn State made its run to the NCAAs. And Penn State didn't play well, Indiana didn't play well, and Indiana did not give me the idea at all that they were a confident basketball team. When you look at Indiana 2011-2012, when did you see those moments where things turned around confidence-wise and they became a confident basketball team?
Well, you're right about last year. There's no question that team struggled dramatically at the end of ball games. They only got blown out three or four times during the season, but finishing games for them last year was very difficult, and very few were finished. That's why the record showed only 12 wins at the end of the season. This year's basketball team just looks completely different. The confidence level started early on. Tom Crean believed that these guys were a much better team. He knew that there was improvement in the older guys and the guys that had been on campus for a year or two. And then, of course, Cody Zeller comes in as the freshman who was expected to make a big difference in this basketball program, and he has not disappointed in any way, shape, or form. And you could just see as the games came and went with wins at the early part of the season that this team was gaining confidence in almost every game. They could tell that they were a different ball club, and the personality of this team just changed as the year progressed. And it probably reached fruition in the sense of believing, truly believing, when they beat Kentucky.
And, of course, we'll talk about that in a moment. Cody Zeller, you can hear about a player's reputation. And, of course, in the state of Indiana, everybody knew about him. It's one thing to make the move from high school to college and make it a successful one. What has made it appear on the surface to be so relatively easy for him?
Well, just because he's been brought up in a basketball family with two brothers, both of whom played at the college level. Luke, his brother, the oldest brother, played at Notre Dame for 4 years. Tyler, of course, is at North Carolina now. Cody grew up in a basketball family. He grew up in a basketball town. He was well-coached throughout his childhood. He learned the fundamentals early. He grew up kind of playing the point guard position because his brothers were all that much bigger than he was, since they're both 7 foot. And so this guy really learned some fundamentals that the other guys didn't learn in just playing the point guard position, how to handle the basketball, looking for the open man, passing it, those kinds of things. He came to Indiana ready-made to play. The only issue with Cody has been strength, and he put on 20 pounds or 25 pounds during the offseason before his first season. He still could add another 25 because that is his only failing right now. His strength is still a little bit suspect, but I've never seen a more fundamentally sound post player at Indiana in the 39 years I've been doing play-by-play.
And that says a lot because you've had some great post players in Indiana in the 39 years you've been there.
Absolutely.
I mean, names that would, I think, if we ran through the lineage, would boggle the mind. Late in the year, Tom made a move where he put Victor Oladipo back at guard. Will Shee started at forward. That meant Verdell Jones came off the bench. Then about, 25 feet in front of you and me a couple of weeks ago, Verdell went down. And unfortunately, his career at Indiana is over. I thought against VCU would be a game where maybe they'd really miss him. How did they overcome that? Because Indiana's not a team that usually will turn the ball over 22 times and win.
No, generally when they get past 14 turnovers in a ball game, they get beat. But this time it didn't happen. Verdell's absence obviously has hurt them to some degree. But Verdell was always a little bit suspect in how strong he was with the basketball. He had some turnover issues himself. This particular game, Indiana overcame the turnover problem with defensive play. Everybody talked about the pressure that VCU could put on you. Indiana did allow only two field goals in the final 12 and a half minutes of that contest. People don't recognize that. They held them to 25% shooting in the second half. This was a team that started out at one point early in the second half was 9 of 20 from three-point land. So Indiana's defense really was the difference in this game, along with rebounding, because they also out-rebounded VCU by 13 boards. Those two aspects changed the whole complexion of the game in the final 10 minutes.
I know. I realize between now and game time, we will see the Watford shot probably 50, 60 more times. Now, the best part about the shot, I thought, was your call of it, which I thought was tremendous, but that's no surprise. But the rest of the game, tell us about the rest of the game, why Indiana was actually in a position to make that shot.
Well, primarily because they did not allow Kentucky to go off and do what they do best, which is run the floor in transition and get easy baskets. That was one of the huge aspects of that contest. There are two things I think that are critical when you play Kentucky. You cannot allow them to dominate the boards, because if they do, they're going to run in transition and beat you down the court with their length and their size, and they're going to get easy baskets. The second thing you must do is you've got to be able to hit shots. Indiana hit shots in that contest. They knocked down, I think, 49%. And they knocked down, I think, 43%, something in that neighborhood, in three-point shooting in that game. If you hit open shots against Kentucky, if you make shots, in other words, if you've got enough people who can shoot the basketball, spread the floor out, and make the shots, you're going to beat Kentucky, because Kentucky's a basketball team that is typically one of the more talented in the country, but at the same time, they still have their issues, too. They're not the greatest disciplined basketball team. They do play better defense than people want to give them credit for, because Calipari does a great job of making sure of that as their coach. But I'm always concerned about Kentucky getting into that running attack mode. If they get into that and you allow them to get a lot of rebounds because you're not making shots, then you are in trouble.
Don Fisher, thanks so much. The play-by-play voice of Indiana basketball for joining us from Atlanta. And that will be Kentucky and Indiana coming up on Friday night. And he's right about that. Penn State, when they play Kentucky, missed 25 consecutive shots.
It's kind of hard to win.
25 in a row they missed. Last time I saw Kentucky play in person, they were playing against Old Dominion. They were kind of plodding along. Old Dominion made some plays. And what really broke it open is that Kentucky got its running game going, and they broke the game open in the second half. They play the modern game as well as you can ask them to play. They are 6'3 to 6'8 guys, mostly long, lean, can run the floor. Everybody can shoot the three. Indiana, though, will be a team that enters the game with tremendous confidence because they beat them the last time they played them, and Indiana believes they can play them. And Zeller against Davis will be a great matchup inside. Great matchup. Well, over the last 2 days, if you're not up to date and up to speed on the four Big Ten teams in the Sweet 16, you haven't listened closely enough. We've tried to at least give you a flavor from each regional where they're playing.
We say about a 46% chance that a Big Ten team will be in the Final Four. I think that was a number that I factored up. Of course, okay. I have two in my Final Four. So,
remember, if all four lose, then the chance is zero.
That's a good point. Well done with the math. That college education's working out well for you, isn't it?
If you hit every shot, you should win.
If you score more points.
We had a lot of fun today. You have to score more points. I think that's the key. Tomorrow, Mark Brennan from Fight on State. Comments from Patrick Chambers. Later in the week, maybe Kevin will line up a guest.
I'll see what I can do.
I have hopes. My main man, Kevin, and I will be back tomorrow, 3 to 5 on WKOK. Have a great one, everybody.